With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Hi, this is Skip Bayless, and thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I just posted a personal story on my Facebook page. If you want to know what I'm really all about, what makes me tick, what made me, you should read what I wrote about my upbringing. You should read about how I succeeded in spite of a mean-spirited drunk of a father and a mother who was too interested in herself to ever be much interested in me. You should read about my athletic achievements and my chokes. You'll find my story on my Facebook page. And now, let's get the show started.
Hello and welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, is Dak Prescott a below-average quarterback? Plus, Nick Cannon joins the show to talk about his new show on Fox, LeBron's Lakers, and plenty more. And does Drew Brees deserve to win the MVP over Patrick Mahomes? Skip Shannon, let's get to it. Back to the NFL, the Cowboys are set to host the Seahawks Saturday on Fox. A lot of attention will be on their quarterback, Dak Prescott. He was ranked as the 18th best quarterback this season by Pro Football Focus. Dak finished in the middle of the pack for TD passes and yards, and he was ranked behind quarterbacks like Kirk Cousins, Dalton, and Matthew Stafford on the list. So Shannon has already kind of made some faces over there.
Good.
Too high, too low, just right for Dak.
So just so for me, because earlier, Skip was telling me Pro Football Focus is made up of Hall of Famers and people
that all. I didn't say Hall of Famers. I said NFL Connection.
And what did they do, Skip? They study tape all the time.
Unlike you. Play to play. So they break down every play of 16 games.
So who am I to disagree with them?
You told me. You've already disagreed with them twice. Said it was bogus.
You said it was pro football foolishness. Are you saying Pro Football Focus said for Pro Football Foolishness? Mm-hmm. I said, Skip, I wouldn't go that far. You're like, nope, dude, you better not say that. So now you want me to go against everything.
I don't know. What do you think? You're the Hall of Famer.
I think this is just about right.
About right?
Yeah, just about right. You know, if you look at stats, you love stats, Skip. 19th in yards per attempt, Dinkin and Dackin. 21st in yards per game, 16th in touchdown passes.
Yep.
What are they? They got him at 18th. 18th, 21st, 16th.
Yep.
That's 18 to me. I don't know how you get around that, Skip Bayless. Because let's see. 21, 40. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's 19.
So now you like Pro Football Food.
Hold on, Skip Bayless. Hold on. 21st, 19. Yeah. That's 40, 16, 56. So 56, 3 into 56. Oh, that's right. That's about right, Skip. That's about right. 18. 18 about right. That's about right. I can't complain. Hold on. You see the thing is, if they broke down the game like you say they did. Now, you tell me that all they do is sit around and break down tape and watch games. So they got a lot of time.
They don't sit around. They sit up on the edge of the chair, man.
They're running back. Let's look at the football.
Back and forth and back and forth.
You tell me, Skip, I ain't got that kind of time. But anyway, let me tell you what I did do. I looked at this game. He scored 0 points against the Colts. Jenny, 16 games, a big sample size. That's what Skip tell me. He said, Shannon, 16 games. You the Pro Football Hall of Famer. Is 16 games a lot of games? I said, Skip, that's a lot of games. That's a large sample size. That's what you tell me. In 10 of his 16 games, Dak Prescott threw 1 or 0 touchdowns. I don't know how you get outside the middle of the pack with that. He also holds on to the ball.
He
was the second most sacked quarterback in all of football.
Deshaun Watson.
I'm gonna give him kudos because I thought at the halfway point, Skip, he was below average. At least they got him in that middle tier. He's somewhere average. So with that being said, 18th seems about
good. Good. I'm glad you agreed because I also agree with Pro Football Focus. His season should rank 18th. We can say either best or worst. Maybe you say 18th worst this year. That's play to play to play for 16 games.
What?
Because the first 8 games, were not good for Dak Prescott. Why did that happen? The first eight games, he had nobody who could consistently separate at the wide receiver position. He had nobody you could even name at tight end, right? Because you didn't even know who these people were. Nope. And I kept saying, well, there is that guy from Baylor, the basketball player. Remember that guy?
Yeah, whatever happened to Rico?
I don't know what happened to Rico, but he couldn't play football, and he's out. He's on the team still, but he's out. He has had no impact. Blake Jarwin started to come alive here the last couple of games.
Mm-hmm. And what's the other guy?
Yeah. Jeff Swain.
Yeah, yeah. He got injured.
Yeah, he got hurt, and he's still hurt. Broke his wrist. So he's had nobody to throw to. He had Tavon Austin. You said he's just a gadget guy.
Just a gadget guy.
And he had him for a little while, and then he got hurt against Jacksonville at Jerry World, and that was the end of him, and he has just come back now. So he didn't even have that. And going into the season, he lost his leader of the offensive line, his Pro Bowl center, Travis Frederick, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Yes.
And he's been gone for the whole year, and it does. I got to knock on wood for him because that's a rough one.
Yeah.
And our Mark Schlereth has gone through this, and he said, boy, I think it's going to take a while, and it looks like it's going to take a long while.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're down there. So your degree of difficulty has gone through the roof because you have nobody to consistently throw to, and you got new receivers in Deontay Thompson, who's no longer on the team, and Allen Hurns, who had a moment here and a moment there, but the kid Michael Gallup, he was still just a rookie. Now he's coming along. So for the first eight games, and again, they all counted, they dragged you way down. In fact, if you just rank the first eight games, Pro Football Focus, he'd probably be way down the 25th, 27th, somewhere easily, maybe 30th. But then all of a sudden, you start to rank the last eight games, and you start to pull back up. Because over the last eight games, if we had Pro Football, just break down Pro Football Focus, not foolishness, Focus, break down the last eight, he would be a top five.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes,
stop
performer,
it.
Performer. Well, I just told you, over the last eight games, he had the third most completions of anybody in Pro Football. He had the fourth highest passing yards of anybody in Pro Football. And he had the third highest completion percentage. Of all the quarterbacks who played over the last eight games of the season, Dak went third, third, and fourth in those pivotal categories, right? And he had 12 touchdowns, only three interceptions. That's pretty great. I could make a case he might have been the best performer over the last eight games. You could undo it, but you could certainly make a credible case that he was the best quarterback in pro football, and they won seven out of eight of those games.
Because if you wanted to be credible, you wouldn't attempt to make that case that Dak was the best quarterback.
Well, I don't know. Those are high marks in every category.
All up. So what am I? So if you don't mind me asking, what am I supposed to do with these 10 games in which you threw one touchdown or zero touchdowns? What am I supposed to do with that?
Well, again, a lot of times maybe Zeke's getting it in from 2 yards or 3 yards. I don't know. But in the 10 wins this year for the Dallas Cowboys, all I know is he threw 17 touchdowns to two interceptions, and that is good.
Well, think about this, Skip.
All right?
In a league that's built on scoring, everybody wants to be Madden.
Yeah.
How do you score 0 points? If you can answer me that, how do you score 0 points?
Well,
if you're that guy, you got a Coop, and you got Zeke Elliott, zero.
So help me out, Mr. Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Just 3 weeks ago, the guy that you said should have replaced Tom Brady as the Pro Bowl quarterback, his name is Andrew Luck, went to Jacksonville against what's left of the Jaguars and scored 0 points.
Yep.
How do you do that, Andrew Luck? Because Andrew Luck's in a whole nother league from Dak Prescott, right?
Yeah.
How did that happen? You lost 6-0?
Six to nothing.
Explain that to me, because I'm lost on that one. I don't know how it happened. How did you do that?
I don't know.
It happens?
But
so does that mean you shouldn't have been on the Pro Bowl team? I don't know.
Well, see what I'm talking about, Skip.
Okay, well, I'm asking you to explain. You can't explain.
Let me see. If I were to do this, I'm think would Dak, would Andrew Luck be 21st in yards passing for a game? Would he be I think he'd be second.
You asked me how Dak scored zero in a game. And that was the same quarterback who just the week before had scored zero in a game.
No, that was 2 weeks before. But anyway, hold on. I don't think Andrew Luck has had 10 games which he scored one or zero touchdowns. Not when you got 39. Andrew Luck had a span in which he had more touchdowns in eight games than Dak Prescott had for the entire season. What am I supposed to do with that, Skip?
Well, what am I supposed to do with 10 wins, 17 touchdowns to two interceptions, averaging 262 yards passing, and have a higher yards per attempt than Andrew Luck?
If you don't mind,
Andrew Luck has turned into a dink and dunker. You realize that?
How many games did the Colts win? 10.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not my fault that guess what? That the Houston Texans were 12-4.
Okay? So, 10 wins for Dak Prescott, 17-2 in interceptions, 6 losses, 5-6 interceptions, 5 touchdowns to 6. So again, QBR of 71 in the wins, QBR of 30 in the losses. So he's been a different guy in the 7-8 streak, right?
But my guy, Andrew Luck, my guy now, has a higher QBR, has a higher passer rating, threw for more touchdowns, has more passing yards, and his record is just as good as your guy.
I like your guy, Andrew Luck.
No, don't like him. I don't want you to like him.
Well, all of a sudden, they drafted 2 stud rookies at the guard and tackle.
Hold on. Yeah. You ain't have no problem when y'all drafted like that.
I'm saying.
Oh, Zach Martin. What round did Zach Martin go in?
And help me out. Who has, again, higher yards per attempt? Is it Dak or Luck? Dak.
My guy's
by far.
Hold on.
How do you explain that?
My guy missed the whole season.
So Andrew Luck
missed the whole season.
So you got a new guy named Frank Reich as your head coach, and he's teaching him to dink and dack.
No.
Right?
What he's
Andrew Luck is just dinking and dacking.
His shoulder was messed up. Hold on. Yeah. My guy missed the whole year.
Really?
And came back and finished. Going to be comeback player of the
year. I love how you jump on these bandwagons.
Don't worry about it.
I stay on my bandwagon. I don't get off. I just stay right there.
That's why I like
the new year, 2019.
Because when your bus breaks down, I want you to stay broke down side the road with it.
Some more bandwagons to jump on.
Yep.
Guys, we have a special guest.
Yes, we do.
Coming out right now, Nick Cannon.
Uh-oh.
He's live in studio with us.
I like that.
We'll talk to him
about
LeBron, the Lakers,
what's up, baby?
Best dress. We're going to talk to him about his new show.
Need that.
Honey, more
need that coat.
I need this.
I'm holding it.
How you doing? Good to see you. No
mercy. There the Masked Singer premieres tonight on
Fox. Man.
We're joined by the host of the show, Nick Cannon. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
That show looks like a lot of fun.
Yes.
In our production meeting today, we have a lot of questions. It looks great. So tell us about
the
show.
I have no answers. That's the thing. It's the most top secret show on television, obviously. Yeah. The way they put this together, they got, 12 amazing A-list celebrities to come in and put on these ridiculous costumes. I mean, head to toe and sing, and they escort them in a very top secret way. If you have an entourage, they have to wear masks too. They give an elaborate performance. It gets critiqued by our panel, and at the end of every show, someone has to get sent home because they weren't the best singer of the show, and that person is unmasked, and you find out who that celebrity
so
is.
So will all 12 perform each show?
No, it's broken down. Okay. So you get a few performances each episode, and then obviously out of that, it's kind of that hierarchy system based off of the best from this week, the best from last week, and then they go against each other as well.
Can you say how many athletes are among the 12?
Ooh, can I say that?
Yes.
I don't know if I can say that. there's definitely athletes there, and there's been some, your name, Shannon, was thrown out there a couple. they said there's a couple guests,
and
they
said no, he can't sing a lick.
Oh, I can sing.
He
can sing.
Wait, you can sing, but you can't
maybe
dance.
Maybe we just don't know.
Well, I don't need to be able to dance in that big old costume. I can just put it off on the costume.
Yeah, you put some dancers around you. So you never know. But then, honestly, too, there's certain levels of singing, too, Skip. So there's some people who are like, oh, my God, that person probably has some Grammys and probably...
Voices,
and then there's some that just ain't good.
Do voices get disguised then?
Interestingly enough, so when you speak, your voice is disguised. That's what I think in the clip heard.
Yeah.
Like, they alter the voice. But when you're singing, it's up to the singer to give you their normal voice or their disguised voice. So, it's a huge guessing game. But at the same time, it's also a singing competition. So some people are really taking this extremely seriously, and they're trying to be, they're trying to win it, and some people are just trying to disguise themselves.
It is a fascinating concept.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Fascinating in the city of Los Angeles, where you obviously reside, is one LeBron James.
Oh,
what do you feel so far, LeBron's L.A. impact? How do you like it?
It's L.A. Bron. He's definitely here making it happen. I mean, unfortunately, he's injured right now, but, I mean, the dude is the best to ever do it. He knows it. I mean,
everybody know the GOAT!
I'm just saying, man. He's and again, obviously there's always the debate of Jordan, Kobe, all this, but it's LeBron. It's his time.
But
it's his
Jordan's
generation.
Like prehistoric now. Yeah. It's like ancient history.
I say like a lot of the cats now, they never saw Jordan play, so they don't know the impact that he had. But I definitely, it's still for me, it's Jordan and LeBron, and LeBron is definitely, you know, taking over LA. I think this is a great way to cap off that legacy, to come to this city and show that impact of, you know, what Hollywood brings, but at the same time, to be a Laker, you know, says a lot.
I've watched you playing a lot of celebrity basketball games. So obviously you're a basketball fan and aficionado.
Yeah, but I don't do well in those games.
That's okay, but your knowledge of the game is great.
Yeah.
Is James Harden the best player in the NBA right now?
Right now? Yes. I mean just because it's December is amazing.
But he's your guy, right?
One, he fly. He stay fly. Yeah. But then, yeah, man, he's just dominating, like 40 points a game, and just an all-around player being able to do it, and, you know, setting it off with the Rockets down there is making it happen. Mm. That's just my opinion right now. You know, like I could jump on that Laker bandwagon too, because we want to see that happen, and everybody's hoping that that's going to be what it should be with LeBron here. But obviously, right now.
So you've already made the case LeBron's the greatest player ever. Can you make the case your man James is the greatest offensive player ever?
Ever?
Yeah.
Ooh. Ever. Yeah.
His coaches made that case.
Yeah. Ever.
Better than Jordan, yeah. Better than Kobe.
I can't go with that one. No. Yeah, no. I mean, he's doing his thing currently right now, obviously, but I don't know if I can go ever.
Yeah, I mean, but when he gets the step back going, it's almost impossible to defend if he's making that shot.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, that's his signature move right there. Like, you can't go wrong with that. But definitely, I mean, right now he's killing it. I mean, scoring 40 consistently like that is out of here.
Okay, let's do one serious note here.
Yes.
You have been outspoken on various social mediums about the Colin Kaepernick situation, impact. Where are we now? What feelings are you left with about the Colin ordeal?
I think, too, because Colin is such a personal friend of mine, too. I mean, I have some extremely strong and heavy feelings towards it, just because I know the passion that he has, even still to this day, as an athlete, not only just for the community, but just even for the game itself. I mean, I've actually worked out with him, you know, in New York quite a bit, and just watching him throw that ball every morning, you know, he getting up at 5, still going, still having just that hunger and that passion, knowing that he should be on a team, you know, and knowing that this is what he dedicated his life to, and now he's dedicated his life to his community, and, you know, he's been torn between the two. But to still see that drive, still see that vigor every morning to be like, yo, this is what I'm about. And just to keep himself in shape and keep himself, you know, paying attention and knowing how much he deserves to be out there.
So you think he still wants to play, or he's moved on and transitioned to being this social?
I think he still wants to play. I think he, at the end of the day, he's a football player. You know, I mean, as much as, you know, as he cares about the community, as, you know, we've done a lot of work with the youth and, you know, with his foundation, and you see his passion there. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's a quarterback, and he wants that, in my opinion. You know what I mean? And that's why I say, because I've had the ability of just watching him throw that ball and work out with him in the mornings. It's like, man, this dude deserves it and really has that drive.
So what's your gut feeling? Will he ever get a shot again? He's not too old. He's not over the hill. He's not washed up.
I think he might not even be 30.
He's not.
Yeah, I think.
Maybe 30.
Yeah, maybe 30. I think if the decision makers wise up, they should definitely give him a shot. Mm. That's how I feel.
But do you think that will happen? Yeah, What's your gut tell you?
My gut tells me that they're not going to make that wise decision. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, dogma and things that go on that, you know, that get involved just based off of people having fears. I feel like Colin definitely made the right decision and stood up, but, you know, he's not being rewarded for that. So
if he doesn't ever play another down in the National Football League, how will history remember Colin Kaepernick?
I think they will remember him for taking a stance and standing for something. I mean, I commend and applaud Nike for the way that they painted his picture and his legacy. We all know that he was a great quarterback, but for, you know, I think even more of a great cultural figure. And that's nothing to shun at, you know what I mean? For someone to kind of step out and make these decisions for the community, I commend him as a friend and as a player.
Why weren't you in Drumline 2?
You know what's funny about Drumline 2, which is one of the best sports movies ever? It actually was supposed to be a television show that we were producing, and really? I made a cameo, and they switched it up. It wasn't a movie. So Drumline, I always said there is no Drumline 2. There was a Drumline film, and then I produced a made-for-TV series right. that they only aired the first two episodes and mm-hmm. kind of spun it like it was a movie.
You like Ebron celebrations.
Oh my. Yo, I had to go ahead and repost that. They killed that. It felt like, I saw like maybe three or four Drumline celebrations. That was the battle. They do the bass drum right. one, and they got a couple others. So it's kind of cool to see the players kind of pay the respects to the movie like that. It's a good look.
I love that. Oh. Yeah. Well, Nick, thank you for being here.
No
really
problem.
Appreciate your time. We're going to be watching.
Yeah, watch it. And hopefully one day being on the show. You never know. You don't have to be able to sing to be on the show.
Skip can dance, but he can't
but
sing.
But under a mask.
I'm trying to win, so if I go on there, you know I got to get these vocals right.
Yeah, got to okay. get right.
I might pull a Bradley Cooper, might rehearse for like really? 2 years, get okay. some singing.
There it is.
For 2 years.
I'm really looking forward to this. The Masked Singer premieres tonight on Fox, and we will be right back. No mercy. Drew Brees and Patrick Mahomes have been leading the charge for NFL MVP most of the season, but Brees was ranked as the top QB in the league this season by Pro Football Focus. He had 32 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions this year, while Mahomes led the league with 50 TD passes for the Chiefs. Shannon, does this make a case that Brees should be the MVP?
No, it should not even be close. This guy should probably win it almost as close to unanimous as we possibly can get. He's only the second guy in the history of the NFL to throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns in the same season. Mm. Now, he's one of 3 guys to throw 50 touchdowns in a single season. Obviously, Peyton Manning, 55, Tom Brady with 50, and now Patrick Mahomes. But in Brady, when he threw his 50, he had, a little over 4,800 yards. Now, Skip tells me December, when teams supposed to play their best ball, and the cream's supposed to rise to the top. Mm. Now, in December, this is what Brees' numbers are. 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He scored 10 points in Dallas at a loss. He scored 12 points against the Panthers. And Pat Mahomes' last 4 games in December, 9 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Hmm. And the fewest amount of points he scored in the game this year is 26.
And who had the better record?
Whoa, hold on. So 1 game. So we're going to take 1 game. 1 game. So let me ask you a question.
1 game what?
He had, okay, one team is 13 and what? What's their record? 13-3? Another team is 12-4. Mm-hmm. Okay, who's the number one seed in the AFC?
They are.
Okay.
By default.
Oh, that was a six.
Thanks to Bill Belichick. They should send him a bouquet.
Kansas City averages 4 more points a game, almost 60 yards per game more on average. And Pat Mahomes averages almost 50 more yards passing than Drew Brees. So for me, it's really, I mean, come on, Skip. We're talking about 50 touchdowns. He's 18 clear. He's 1,100 more passing yards clear. Skip, this is not even close. I mean, stop it. Look, this is not a lifetime achievement award. I don't want to hear, Drew Brees has never won, and he'll never get another chance. That's not my fault. Patrick Mahomes has had the better year. There's nothing you can do. We've seen guys get, we saw Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees is what, 32-5, you say? We saw Aaron Rodgers go 45-6. There's nothing that, I mean, what are we talking about here? Okay, yeah, he has a high passer rating. It's not the highest ever. That still belongs to Aaron Rodgers. Okay, he broke his completion percentage. But when you look at this thing, Skip, it shouldn't even be close. 5,000 yards passing in a season, 50 touchdowns, the number one seed in the AFC. And with all what he's been able to do, this should I don't even know why we're even having this discussion. Offense averages 37 points a game. And in the games they lost, he put up 40. I mean, his defense gave up 40. Skip, this is not even close.
Not even close. That's what you kept saying about the Heisman race and then last
Oh, you saw what happened.
Yep.
You saw what happened. You saw what happened.
I did. Kyler Murray won the Heisman.
He won the Heisman, but took that butt cut when he got to Bama.
First player ever to go for 300 yards passing and 100-plus rushing against Nick Saban. I'd say that's a butt cut,
he
man.
Cam Newton didn't do that, but Cam won. Johnny Manziel didn't do that, but Johnny Manziel won. Chad Kelly didn't do that, but Chad Kelly beat him twice. Your guy did all those accolades. But guess what he doing, Skip? Got that garbage bag cleaned out of his locker on Monday. That what he got.
So I guess Shannon Sharpe is going to rename this website PFF, Pro Football Foolishness.
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yep.
Is that what we're
going to
do? Yeah, because once again, I'm going to remind you, this is a committee of people, some with NFL ties, who do this for a living.
Hell, I got NFL ties.
You do, but you don't have time to break down every play of every
game. Put 2 cases to do on it. We're going to start 2019 outright. 2 cases, Mahomes win the MVP.
I'm not going to do that because he probably will.
What you mean probably will?
It's about splash plays. It's about social media highlights.
No, don't do that.
It's about best new bandwagon to jump on. And Shannon Sharpe jumped on it at midseason, and he's driving
go
it.
Early.
And he's looking over his shoulder saying, Drew Brees, let me be.
Nope.
Leave me alone.
Go, Skip. 2 cases. We got to start 2019 upright. 2 cases.
It's my turn to go here.
Your turn.
And Pro
no
Football
bets yet.
Focus says we broke down every play and we thought Drew Brees had a little better quarterback performance overall than Patrick Mahomes. And Drew Brees, just for the record and for what it's worth, not very much, he broke his own completion percentage record that he set a year ago of 72% with the 74% of his passes he completed.
How many passes did Kamara catch?
Do those count? I think they count.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's another second-level stat on deep accuracy, on deep passes from the pocket. 53% were completed by Drew Brees. Mahomes was third on that list, and then we go all the way down.
Outside the pocket.
Yeah. You know, how about under pressure, completion percentage under pressure? That can be inside or outside the pocket. Drew Brees was second in the NFL this year, and Patrick Mahomes was 21st there. And I will give you QBR, which is the more complete evaluation of a quarterback's performance.
I don't use that.
Yeah. Well, Patrick Mahomes edged out Drew Brees 82.0 to 81.9. So he edged him out by one-tenth of a point. One-tenth. And why did that happen? Because Drew Brees was able to not play his last game while Patrick Mahomes had to play his last game to secure the number one seed. And he got to play the Oakland Raiders at Kansas City. And he had a QBR of 84 that day, which edged him a tick ahead
of
Drew
Brees. He was already ahead. But
Drew Brees led that all year long.
You make it seem like the Carolina Panthers were the monsters of the Midway or the 2000 Ravens.
Mm. I just told you Drew Brees didn't play his last game.
But last time he, guess what? Guess what happened, Skip? Last time he played the Carolina Panthers.
Mm.
Field goals. That's what he got.
Okay. So let's look at degree of difficulty. Drew Brees had to complete 125 passes to his only real target at wide receiver, Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
125 passes. Mm-hmm. His next wide receiver in catches was Tre'Quan Smith with 28. So 97 more passes went to his solo wide receiver that he could throw to Michael Thomas. And then way down the list is Ben Watson, his tight end. You know tight end position pretty well. He caught 35 balls. How many did you catch in your best years? You were catching like 150?
No, I was catching best 81, 87.
Okay, 81. So 87, says Shannon Sharpe. So 87. Ben Watson caught 35.
But Skip, I was...
Wait a second. Travis
Ben
Kelce.
Ben Watson in year 15.
Yeah, Travis Kelce this year caught 103 passes. That's way beyond your best year.
Way.
103, and Ben Watson caught only 35. And then, wait a second. Tyreek Hill caught 87 balls. And then we go to Sammy Watkins. He caught 40 balls. So you want to talk about weapons?
Okay.
Did Patrick Mahomes have better weapons than Drew Brees? You better believe
he did.
What
about that running attack?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Oh, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't Seattle's running attack.
No, but
it was pretty good.
So you because you do realize what you call lost his best runner at the time. Kareem Hunt was the third leading rusher in the NFL.
Yep,
he lost him. Gone.
Yep, and then big stage games. Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday night, twice. Patrick Mahomes lost those games. I don't know what happened.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Was Dallas a big stage game?
Yeah, it was.
It's not into
a buzzsaw.
It's not Patrick Mahomes' fault that he's so good everybody want to watch him play.
Mm.
Drew Brees should have. See, if Drew Brees had won more games the year before, they'd have had more televised games this year.
Yep. My MVP goes to Drew Brees, and he does deserve it. I'm not going to do it. No.
Why?
Because I think he's going to win.
Okay.
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to win.
So because
he got to play the last game. That's why.
No, Skip.
And it's not right because the better overall year with the higher degree of difficulty, Drew Brees.
Skip.
Drew Brees.
He had a team in his own division win 12 games.
Mm.
If you don't mind me asking, what was the best record in the NFC South? Other than New Orleans.
Mm.
How many games did Atlanta win?
Were they a consensus favorite to win the South?
How many games did Tampa win?
Mm.
Remember, until they won their last game, they had lost every game. They started the season 6-2.
Mm. Nobody saw that coming, though.
Yeah,
Carolina started season 6-2.
Yeah, boy, they were hot.
And finished the season 7-9.
Yep.
Okay, what about Atlanta?
Drew Brees just ran away with that division. That was impressive.
Think about it.
Number one seed.
When the last time you saw a man throw 50 touchdowns with 5,000 yards and not run away with the division? Dan Marino, when he threw 48 touchdowns, which was the record at the time, he went 14-2. Tom Brady. What did he go?
Boy, you give Tom Brady. 16-0. Wait a second. You give Tom Brady or Drew Brees these weapons? Kelce and Tyreek and Sammy Watkins?
He had Randy Moss.
One time.
He had Wes Welker.
One time.
And he went 16-0. Mm-hmm. He threw 50 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning went 14-2? Mm-hmm. 55-5400.
Yeah, with weapons.
Okay, then. Yeah. So don't make it seem like Tom Brady never had weapons, Skip Bayless.
Well, he did in 2007. That was one shot.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And where did that get him? Nowhere.
What would you think? He got it to the Super Bowl.
Huh?
Got it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Well, he only scored 14 points.
But with 2 minutes left, he scored the 14th point, and it should have stood up.
Hold on.
It should have stood up.
Hold on. How you go from scoring 37 a game, and then you get to the Super Bowl, the biggest stage? Coach Belichick defense only gave up, what did they give up, Skip, 17?
Yeah.
They gave up 17 points.
What happened to that defense? Tom Brady handed that defense a 14-10 lead with 2 minutes left. With 2 minutes left.
With Tom Brady.
That's a four-point lead.
Hold on.
You're not even within field goal striking distance.
You mean to tell me I got the GOAT?
Yeah.
I'm talking about you. Hold on.
The GOAT, but you had 14.
You call it big case GOAT. Yeah. You didn't say lowercase. You say big case.
Yeah.
Capital G.
Yes.
And I can't give a 14. I can't give a 14 points out of you.
Yeah. And why wouldn't Bill Belichick be able to stop Eli Manning?
17
Eli
points,
Manning?
Skip. You ought to be ashamed of
yourself. They were a wild card team.
Skip, let me ask you a question.
They were on a wild card run.
Hold on.
What?
I've been a wild card twice.
What,
they ain't got
what,
to do
what'd
with
that do? What would they go that year? 9-7?
Hold on.
How can you let a 9-7 offense do that to you at
17
the end of the game?
Points.
Cost you a Super Bowl.
Coach
Belichick cost him another Super Bowl.
Coach Belichick, if somebody said,
that's
you know
another
what?
One.
They're going to hold the Giants to 17 points. You say, boy, they're going to run away with them. They're going to beat them like 35 to 17.
Yeah, but who drove the ball 80 yards in like 10 plays?
I want to know why.
Go ahead, 14-10
I want
to
know why were the Giants even in the game?
Huh?
Why were the Giants even in the game?
They're good. They're loaded.
Whoa! So Eli the GOAT.
Defense.
So if you beat the GOAT twice.
Yeah, with the luckiest pass.
No, skip while you do that. See, we were having a good conversation. We starting out 2019, right? You were courteous. I was receptive to courtesy. And then you had to ruin it.
I think a lot of people believe Drew Brees should be the MVP, but I agree with you. The kid will win it.
See, how you bet? Oh, you don't want to give me a chance to get my due back.
I'm not going to just give it to you.
You're not giving it to me.
It's tough over here.
Hold on. You didn't say anything when you took my due. When I picked Tua and I lost.
Well, that was your fault.
Oh.
Not my fault.
See how you do it.
But you were the front runner the whole year. I was the one who kept beating this desk saying, wait a second.
I've been on my homeboy.
Huh. You have.
And who, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Now, we got an opportunity to see these guys go head to head. Who performed better?
Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes?
No. I'll talk about your guy. Against my guy.
Oh,
Tua.
This guy.
Tagovailoa.
Back to that guy.
Against the worst defense in the history of college football? You're taking credit for that?
Whoa.
Seriously?
I'm just trying to figure
out. No, seriously. Okay, it was 28-0 in the second
quarter. How did they get that? You got the best quarterback seat, the best quarterback in the history of the game in college football.
You got a
how
top did they get to 28-0? Top five defense. And then what happened?
Uh-oh, what?
After about two more quarters, Quinn and Williams is waving to the sideline. Take me out. Skip. I can't chase him anymore.
You know, you get a big lead like
take
that.
Me out.
Empty yards. They meant nothing.
Really? 300
yards passing. So when the game was 7-0,
or
the game
was 14-0. Didn't it? Onside kick?
You never got within two scores. Think about that, Skip, and let that sink in.
How do you carry the worst defense in the history of college football to that? That's a Heisman Trophy.
You know what happens? Is that when you get to 7-0 and you're down 7-0 and you go 3-out.
Yep.
And when it's 14-0, you go 3-out.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, it's 21-0. No mercy.
In the other NFC wildcard game, the Eagles are a 5.5-point underdog on the road against the Bears on Sunday. Nick Foles will start despite bruising his ribs in Sunday's win. Foles has led the Eagles to three straight wins, and He has proven himself in the playoffs. The reigning Super Bowl MVP has thrown 8 touchdowns with only 1 pick in his 4 playoff games. Shannon, how dangerous are the Eagles going into the playoffs?
They're a dangerous team, but I don't believe they'll beat the Bears. The Bears are loaded defensively. Number 1 scoring D, number 1 rush D, number 1 in takeaways, 3rd in sacks, 7th in pass D. And the one thing that Philly can't really do, Skip, is run the football, especially consistently. And once the Bears and Vic Fangio, the defense coordinator, all teams try to make you one-dimensional. Everybody wants to shut your run off and then pin their ears back and come get your quarterback. So I believe that's what the Bears will do. Now, Foles has been unbelievable in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what he brings them, Skip, is a confidence that everything's going to be okay.
Yep.
Especially after what he did in the NFC Championship, especially what he did in the Super Bowl. And then to follow it up, and basically they have to win out in order to get into the playoffs. And he does that. He's done it. So they have a confidence in him that everything's going to be okay. But I just don't know if – I don't think they'll be able to run the football. And when you can't run the football against a team that has number ones in scoring D and rush and in takeaways, that lets Khalil Mack, that let Hicks, that let Floyd, that let some of those guys pin their ears back and come get your quarterback. Mm. And plus, he's banged up. Mm. So we don't know how healthy he's going to be. Probably put some medicine in that rib cage area. And have him go out there. But I don't think, can they be dangerous? Yes, they can be. But I don't expect them to win this game.
Hmm. So, right now, the Philadelphia Eagles have become the one team I would not want to play in the postseason because they have turned back into a Super Bowl type of a force. And that's all because of the presence of Nick Foles. I would not want to be Philadelphia management if Nick Foles goes on yet another playoff run.
Well, that's a different, that's another thing.
Puts them into a really between the rock and the hard place position of what do? We let him go? What do we do?
Rock and a harder place.
Well, harder place, that is for sure. And just for the record, I believe that Nick Foles and company are going to upset the Bears in Chicago. And just for the record, I was half kidding with one of our security guards down in the lobby on Friday, who's a big Philadelphia fan from Philadelphia. And I was just sort of surmising and putting 2 + 2 together. And I thought, gee, wouldn't it be something if the Eagles upset the Bears? And then if the Eagles went to New Orleans and upset the Saints and that hardest place to play in the world? And wouldn't it be something if the Cowboys beat Seattle and then went to the Rams and upset the Rams? And guess what?
Oh, Lord.
Guess what that would mean, Mr. Sharp? That would mean the NFC Championship game would be Philadelphia at Jerry World. And I got to tell you, I would not love my team's chances in that scenario because of Nick Foles.
So, in other words, you want all your prayers answered in the first month of the 2019 year, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a prayer.
Okay, I'll take the prayer of Dallas in the championship
game.
Exactly. But I would, I'm telling you, if it's Nick Foles at quarterback, my team already beat your quarterback twice, Carson Wentz. Beat him twice. Beat him in Philly to start the 7 out of 8 run and beat him in midstream in Dallas. And it was a shootout, but my quarterback, I don't know how he did this. He threw for 243 yards in the fourth quarter in overtime, 17 of 20. I don't know how he does that. He can't throw. He's not accurate.
Man,
but I don't know. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And I would fear my team against Nick Foles because I fear Nick Foles in that offense. It just looks different to me with him operating it. He operates with poise under fire. I do not consistently see from Carson Wentz. Obviously, Carson Wentz is extremely talented. He's big and strapping, and he can run a little bit, though he couldn't run quite as well this year coming off his big knee reconstruction. But Nick Foles moves around pretty well at 6. I think he's 6'6".
Yeah,
I believe he is because he's a former basketball player.
Here's the thing, though, Skip, but also what they're going to have to look at is that Carson Wentz has been hurt an awful lot.
Yep.
He was hurt in college. Remember, he missed like 3 or 4 games his senior year in college.
Yeah.
So we're starting to see a reoccurring theme where he can't finish the season on the field.
Uh-huh.
But that's we'll debate that another day.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago can run the ball better than people think. I think they're 11th in running.
I got that.
Howard and Tariq Cohen. But here's the thing. The unknown is that Trubisky, his legs are better than you think.
No, they're great. He led the quarterbacks in the NFL in rushing.
Yeah.
I think Lamar passed him at the end.
Did he at the end? Yeah, maybe he did.
But
all year he was.
But you remember,
rolling.
Skip, how he was doing the Patriots.
Yeah.
He looked like Michael Vick against the Patriots, running all over the field. And he almost brought them back against the Patriots. And they were on the 1 yard line from getting the game into overtime with a PAT. So but I just don't know in a situation where if you can't run the football, how you go with a team that can come get you like the Bears can. And they started, see, and the Bears, they're thinking like, okay, this is 85, 86 all over again, where we can come pin our ears back. And, you know, for the and when they got to the Super Bowl, I think it was 06, they had a tight defense with Urlacher and Briggs and Peanut Tillman that could take the ball away. They could come get you with a Goonlier and putting pressure on the quarterback, Tommy Harris. So we're going to see, Skip Bay. I don't believe the Eagles can win. But this could be a very dangerous team because they believe. And there's something that, to be said with a belief. That
in Nick Foles.
Yes.
They do.
Yes.
So over the three games that he's picked them up and started, he averages 321 yards passing. He led the NFL in completion percentage because at Washington he completed 25 straight passes. That is hard to do. That did it tie the NFL?
It tied the NFL record. And then he had a flat rod to Aguilar and it was a little behind him and he dropped it.
Okay. So do I have to remind everyone that in the NFC Championship game against the number one ranked defense, Minnesota's back, that was in Philadelphia last year, he goes 26 to 33 for 352 and three touchdowns and no interceptions. And then against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, 28 to 43 for 373, three touchdowns, and did have one interception, but had a QBR of 89, which was better than Brady. So he outplayed Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
He was better.
Those are two.
Ain't no outplayed, he was better.
I keep telling you, I can't remember in my time of covering the National Football League two better games, back-to-back championship games, Super Bowl, than Nick Foles played at quarterback. Well, you have to, there has to be some value. It can't be an aberration because 1 year under Chip Kelly, he went 27 touchdowns to only two interceptions. There's something there that is really good. It's very different than Carson Wentz, but it's really good. And I don't think it was any silly, you know, any blip in the radar that they built a little shrine in Chris Long's locker to Nick Foles. And
Chris built that.
Yeah, but it sounded like everybody co-signed on it, right?
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox was co-signed. I think he contributed to
all
it.
All them candles.
Yeah. Shrine.
Okay. It was a shrine because they know that in Nick they trust. Right. They just do. He's their Saint Nick. So, I would fear this team if I were the Bears because it's hot right now. And what is Nick Foles doing that Carson Wentz didn't consistently do? Spreading the ball and finding the
– The thing is with Nick Foles, Nick Foles throwing the ball over the top of your head. He's throwing the ball to Alshon, getting big plays. He's throwing the ball to Aguilar, getting big plays.
So in these three games, Alshon's caught 16 for 301 yards, and Zach Ertz has caught 18 for 147 yards. But they're 50-50 on catches.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, the bombs away are going to the stud receiver, the wideout. Okay, that's dangerous. That's a formula for upsetting Chicago at Chicago.
Well, the thing is that the Bears don't normally give up big plays. The question is Eddie Jackson, because right now this year he played a lot like Ed Reed.
Yeah.
See, it's not good enough for him to get his hands on the ball. He's trying to turn getting his hands on the ball into points. He's trying to put the ball into the end zone. He's getting scooping scores. He's getting pick six. So he's a ball hawk.
Yep.
Now, when they shut the run off and you have Foles back there, so now that gives Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack's a man, Skip. I mean, he's putting 330-pound mans on their behind with one hand. So, and now you got him and Akeem Hicks up the middle, who had an unbelievable year. And you got Floyd. So it's going to be very, very interesting.
That Eagles offensive line, it hasn't played up to its potential, but it is loaded with stars, right?
Yeah.
So if Nick Foles is like 85% healthy, I don't know what he's going to be.
Right.
But he's going to have to be able to take some shots.
Yeah,
he's going to
have
to withstand some punishment.
You don't build a shrine for someone you don't respect. They're trying to become the first team to repeat as champs since the 03-04 Patriots. That would be impressive.
It's not an easy thing.
Not an easy thing to do. All right, is LeBron coming back to the Lakers anytime soon? We'll discuss what the latest is with Chris Broussard. No mercy. The Lakers are hosting the Thunder tonight here in L.A., but they will be without the king once again. LeBron will miss his fourth straight game because of the strained groin he injured on Christmas. He still hasn't been able to fully practice with the team, and the Lakers are 1-2 without him. We're joined by FS1 NBA analyst Chris Broussard. Good morning.
Good morning.
What does it tell you that LeBron is still not practicing?
Nothing really. I mean, they said he was shooting yesterday.
Yeah, a little bit.
If it's a grade one strain, that's 1 to 2 weeks. It's only been a week. If it's a grade two strain, it's 3 to 6 weeks. Remember, Steph Curry missed 11 games earlier
in
the season.
3 weeks.
Right, 3 weeks, 11 games with a strained groin. So this seems to be par for the course. And it actually is would be a good time. You hate to see an injury, but this is maybe the best time of the year for it to happen, because when you look at their schedule, 7 of their next 8 games are against teams under 500. They play OKC tonight, which I think they'll lose. But after that, you got the Knicks, Minnesota, Dallas, Detroit, Utah, Cleveland, Chicago. They're at Minnesota, at Dallas, at Utah. So, I mean, those are obviously teams that you could beat, you could lose to. But it's a good time to see what really is around LeBron James. I mean, obviously, Golden State's the heavy favorite. If they falter, I think the Lakers were in that group with Houston and OKC that might have a shot. But this season was really about seeing what you have outside of LeBron. And if they can play well in this stretch and win games, I think it could build their confidence in themselves, the supporting cast, and it could build LeBron's confidence in them.
We showcasing talent.
Right.
It's all about Anthony Davis.
Well, and you know what? And I'll say this, though. Again, and I'm not predicting Golden State will falter, but not since Bill Russell's Celtics in the 60s has a team even made 5 straight finals. Forget winning 5 straight or 4 straight.
Right.
Hasn't made 5 straight. Mm-hmm. Whether it's ego, injuries, implosion, mental fatigue. So if that happens, I actually think maybe they can make a run this year, maybe. So if Kuzma, who's averaged 25 without LeBron the last 3 games, if he continues to play really well, Josh Hart, you know those two already fit around LeBron. Mm-hmm. Maybe they could show they can do stuff without him. Hmm. Ingram's the interesting one. We know he plays better statistically, it shows, when LeBron's off the court because he needs the ball in his hands more. Right. Mm-hmm. And he obviously played well in their last win against Sacramento with the ball in his hands. He's a guy that could be being showcased because around the league, people are looking at him right now saying, he's not what we thought he was. But if he plays well during this stretch, it could show he just isn't a guy that fits with LeBron. But if you get him somewhere else, he could do some stuff on his own and maybe be a star. So that could showcase him for an AD trade or something.
He looked real good with the Pelicans. Look, this is I'm not concerned about this, Skip, because I thought he would be out a significant amount of time. I think the biggest thing is that we've never seen LeBron injured. With the exception of that back injury, but this is probably the most serious injury that he's had. And this, I thought it would take him 3 weeks. It wasn't going to be one day because normally we see him twist his ankle, Skip, but his ankle would touch the floor literally. He tightened his shoe up and he's right back on the court.
That is true.
This is going to take some time, especially because of the type of ball. LeBron plays downhill. Right. He's explosive and he needs that. And you do not want to have this thing linger. Lakers, all they can hope for is to remain around 500 until he gets back, and then he'll bring you home from there.
You mean in the games without him, 500?
500.
So overall, they'd still be, 4 or 5 games?
That's all they need to do, just be 500. Okay. Skip, it's like when you get to that ankle leg, you ought to be on the relay team, whether the 4x1 or the 4x4. When you got a good ankle leg, he said, just keep it close. I just want you to keep it close. Just let keep it close. The Jamaicans. All they knew is they just got it to Usain, he gonna bring us home. LeBron said, just keep me close, and I'll bring you home. That's all he wants you to do, Skip, baby. Can you keep him close? He'll bring you home.
Well, I'm looking at the West right now.
It don't matter.
I don't know, man.
I know what James Harden.
Schedule is, but you gotta admit,
I got your schedule.
Right?
I got your schedule. I'm also looking at the teams that aren't even in the playoffs now.
They're out of the playoffs, too.
Wait a second. Memphis and Utah and Dallas and Minnesota and those Pelicans. I keep waiting for 2 of those teams just to catch fire.
The Pelicans are not going to
make
it.
Capable.
So we have to get OAD.
They're all capable. If Mirotić comes back to the Pelicans and Julius Randle's playing at a high level.
Playing unbelievable.
I don't know why they don't.
They should be better.
They should be better.
Be better. Yeah. And Peyton, Alfred Peyton will help. He was a big loss. I know, it sounds crazy, but he was their Rondo.
Even Minnesota, they still have firepower. And from night to night, they'll have a big game, and then they'll be like, what? And Dallas, they got talent now. Doncic is playing.
He's the truth.
He's starting to figure it out.
He's the truth.
Yes, he is. He is the truth.
And like, why we do that?
I mean, Trey's been okay, too, but Doncic is.
Allow me to throw out that now sitting in the 8th spot, my San Antonio Spurs, and you took me to task when I said, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. People are going to laugh when I say this.
Derek White is the truth. They have a player now named Derek White. You should check him out some night and tell me he can't play Spurs basketball because he's turning into a Spurs type of star.
They've become unwatchable without Kawhi.
Okay, well, you can make that case. But
you see what Kawhi did last night, Skip?
No, I did. I don't know who you're talking about.
Who is that guy?
I only know number
some
two.
Some guy with braids, right?
Yeah, but all I know is that the Spurs the other night hung 46 in the third quarter on the Boston Celtics. That's hard to do against the Boston Celtics. They play defense. They're not as good as they were. Yeah.
He didn't close that game? Mm-hmm. Y'all know what? You got the best close in basketball. And he couldn't close that?
It was over going to the fourth.
Wow! How would he let that happen?
Derek White outplayed Kyrie. I don't know how that happened.
What?
He just did. I don't know. So, back to LeBron James. This is why I'm surprised by this, because I've said for years he is the most durable superstar in sports history. So you're talking about this is his first injury ever, and I can't compute it. I'm serious. I'm not being sarcastic about this. I just think he's Iron Man. And when he tweeted the next day, dodged a bullet, back in no time, basically. Remember, sheesh, right?
Sheesh.
Okay. Well, then I accepted that like, it's just a real minor tweak of his groin. Mm. And I thought maybe a couple of games. And I know you can laugh and say, yeah, but grade two is supposed to be three to six weeks. For most mortals, it is. But I don't think in basketball terms he's mortal when it comes to injuries. He's been beyond injuries because he's never had one. It's like, I'm going to knock on wood because I don't even like to talk about this because I don't want to invite one. But he's never had anything significant in his career. And he is a high contact basketball player.
Yeah.
He just is. Yeah. I mean, he takes as much contact as anybody in the league.
He missed eight straight his first year in Cleveland with a strained knee and back. Right. And that's it, though.
Right. But then he took that time off in Miami.
Went to Miami.
All right. And that was just like overall wear and tear.
Yeah.
Like he was just beat up and worn down. But he didn't have that injury.
Right.
He didn't have the shoulder or the knee or the back where where it's knocked him out.
Skip, I think the thing is when he got the MRI, at least it wasn't torn off the bone. It wasn't going to cause him something to miss. You know, three weeks. He might have thought. Right. And the thing is that when you say significant amount of time, and this is a significant amount of time for him. Because basically the 2 weeks that you mentioned, Chris, in 16 years, that's saying something. A man has been that durable with the style of play that he has. But 3 weeks, you come back fresh, you know, hey.
Well, that's the thing. It could help him because he'll be fresh
in
the second half of the season.
But the problem is these games all count. And they are sitting in the seventh seed, and I predicted they would be the seventh seed. And again, if it's the last leg of the relay race and he comes back,
Listen,
on the other teams, there aren't just going to be four runners on the other team. They got like eight runners.
No, we'll pass them all.
Coming from
everywhere. That's what you got. You got eight on the track.
Well, you know what's interesting? When the Lakers look totally different without LeBron. There's more player movement. Obviously they're not as good, but I mean the style of play. There's more player movement, more ball movement versus one guy kind of dominating the ball. So it's interesting. Are you suggesting that the fact that, like, maybe if this happens 3 years ago, it's not even a strain? Like, LeBron's just in such good shape that it's not an injury. You think this is indicative of his age?
I'm being honest. I'm dumbfounded it's taken this long. Seriously. And he didn't even practice yesterday. He just shot.
Right.
So, again, I throw out all your grade one, grade twos because it's LeBron James. So, I'm not saying he's getting old, but this is something that happens in year 16 where you say, we got to deal with this. Right. We got to really be careful.
Skip, it was so freak how it happened. Yeah. It didn't seem like
something that would pull your groin. Right.
But that's how this injury happened. Steph's injury was kind of just freakish.
Yes.
You know, it didn't look like anything.
Okay, but Steph Curry has proven over a long time to be pretty fragile. Am I right? He's had all kinds of stuff. Physically. And once he gets a knee or an ankle, I know his ankle's nearly cost him his whole career. Well, he's just gone.
They shut him down for 2 weeks. We got anything. Yeah. He got a hangnail. Oh, Steph shut it down.
But you want to talk about different in body types, Steph to LeBron, that's like night and day, right?
Yeah, but that's... Okay. Oh, just keep it close, Skip.
Okay, but keep it close in the West is going to be.
Keep it close, Skip. Hold on. Did you see what James
Harden? You want to keep it close enough that you don't fall to the 9 seed.
They're 2 games out of 9th right now.
Yep.
And they're only 4 games out of 1st. Like the West, it's just jam-packed.
Did you hear what I just said?
I did not hear. Okay. What did you say?
It does not. Did you see what James Harden just did? 10 games where he averaged 40.
He did.
You don't think LeBron is capable of that?
No, I don't.
Are you out your mind, Skip Bayless?
He doesn't do that. He just doesn't do that.
Have you not watched the playoffs?
I don't really do that.
Huh? Have you watched the playoffs? Did you watch the playoffs last year?
I don't think 40. He's going to go off on like that type of stuff.
If we need him to do that to get to the playoffs, he will do that, Skip Bayless. Right.
Well,
we don't like to become that player.
Yeah.
But we got that in us.
Well, I think they're going to take another L tonight because I think they ain't taking no L.
And then they're winning 7 straight. Okay. I told you.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, just hold
it in the road.
Is that with or without LeBron? I don't know. I mean, seriously.
I think he'll be out most of that stretch.
Yeah.
Really?
I do. I think he misses New York, Minnesota.
He ain't playing to the middle of at the earliest. He won't be back until like 17th or 18th or 19th of January.
Well, then I'm going to say he's an old man.
Say what you want to.
We're going to need more time for that another time. He's got to be safe.
He's going to put that work in, though.
To linger.
You got to be overly cautious. You would admit that.
If he misses that many games, I'm going to tweet, sheesh. That's what I'm going to
say.
No,
we'll be ready for it. We'll see. Chris, thank you for joining us.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. We're back at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts. Sports. One. Of one.